Why don't you turn your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 20. Proverbs chapter 20 as we continue our study in this book, Pithy Maxims, the Proverbs of Solomon speaking to his children, the Lord, our Heavenly Father speaking to us, telling us about life and how we can live it well and the way that we can walk pleasing unto Him. Very much practical information in the scripture for us, and so we're here towards the tail end of this chapter, and we'll go ahead and Lord willing and Lord's blessing, we'll finish it up tonight. Let's go ahead and read from the beginning. And so we've been dealing with this chapter since the beginning of last month, the things that we've needed to bring forth. And so let's just read it from the beginning. Wine is a mocker, strong drink is raging, and whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. Watch out for that. Watch out for anything that alters the spirit within us, okay? I'm not talking about the Holy Spirit, but I'm talking about our ability to be subject to the Spirit of the Lord. Being out of control. People get drunk and they do things that they wouldn't normally do. Scripture talks about that. We've got some of those things coming up. The fear of a king is as a roaring of a lion. Whoso provoketh him to anger sinneth against his own soul. Don't sin against the King of Glory. Okay, don't provoke him. The Lord has sent his Son that sinners like you and I can be saved. Repent of your sins and trust in him. It is an honor for a man to cease from strife, but every fool will be meddling. And so we need to leave off things, say what's right, let that stand, and don't be one to be argumentative. Sometimes that's very hard for us. We don't need to meddle in things that don't belong to us. The sluggard will not plow by reason of the cold, the end of winter going into spring. Therefore shall he beg and harvest and have nothing. Need to work. It's for us. Unless there's some physical hindrance, we all need to work. Counsel in the heart of man is like deep water. And those that have understanding, a man of understanding, will draw that out and know how to be able to get that out. Most men will proclaim everyone his own goodness. But a faithful man, who can find? One that's just steady, one that doesn't need accolades from those around, but just does and follows what is right and true. The just man walketh in his integrity, his innocence. His children are blessed after him. And indeed, our children can reap what we do or don't do. A king that sitteth in the throne of judgment scattereth away. A king that sitteth in the throne of judgment scattereth away evil, all evil with his eyes. And so, especially a wise, truthful, and upright king does so. Especially the Lord, who can say, "I've made my heart clean; I am pure from my sin." Who can say that? Not a one of us. Salvation is of the Lord. Divers weights and divers measures. A different weight, light weight, heavy weight, short measure, long measure, depending on when you're buying or when you're selling. Both of them are alike abomination to the Lord. And may we remember that. Even a child is known by his doings, his good acts or his bad acts, whether his work be pure or whether it be right. It's never too early for us to work on our child's reputation, and not by falsehood, but to teach them the right way. They, even little, are known by what they do. The hearing ear and the seeing eye, it's a marvel. They are a marvel, aren't they? And the Lord has made even both of them. Love not sleep, lest thou come to poverty, verse 13. Open thine eyes, and thou shalt be satisfied with bread. Again, work is of the Lord, and we need to pursue it. It is not, saith the buyer, but when he has gone his way, then he boasteth. And so we understand about that. That's the way. We don't need to be deceitful in those things. Maybe, well, just in dealing, this happens at the flea markets all the time, doesn't it? And when we get a good deal. But that's the way that it works. There is gold and a multitude of rubies, but the lips of knowledge are a precious jewel. Substance in the hand has value, but knowing what is right has greater value. It's just that way. And take his garment that is surety for a stranger, and take a pledge of him for a strange woman. A man, I was talking to Stephen about this, and Read some other passages in Proverbs that we've seen about suretyship and co-signing and stuff like that. Don't do that. It seems maybe that this man is one that's just willy-nilly with his credit, and so you better get him backed up if you're going to get lend him something. Bread of deceit is sweet to a man, but afterwards his mouth shall be filled with gravel. Boy, that's a thought, your mouth being filled with gravel. We don't need to be deceitful. Every purpose, verse 18, is established by counsel, and with good advice make war. Count the cost. We need to count the cost in all things. He that goeth about as a talebearer revealeth secrets. Therefore meddle not with him that flattereth with his lips. And so one that goes about talebearing, we don't need to be talebearers. We don't need to tell things that don't need to be told. And we don't need to meddle with those that are always flattering. The Lord said, "Woe unto you when all men shall speak well of you." Look out. Look out. There's a trap there. "Whoso curseth his father or his mother, his lamp shall be put out in obscure darkness." And we mentioned about some verses over in Proverbs. We live amongst that generation, don't we? There's just not honor of children towards parents. And then we have, sad to say, we live in a day too that we've got a generation, there's generations of parents at hand that don't deserve. They've not in a position to have honor towards them. And of course it's not right for a child to be abusive in any way, in any case, to their parent, but it's a terrible, terrible state. Our brother has mentioned in times past about culture rot, and we are in the midst of it. Things are turned upside down. May God help us, and He will and He can help us. May we look to Him. An inheritance may be gotten hastily or anxiously or speedily at the beginning, but the end thereof shall not be blessed. Say not thou, "I will recompense evil, but wait on the Lord, He shall save thee." Okay, so vengeance is the Lord's. He'll take care of things. He says He will avenge His people speedily. And then we pick it up here in verse number 23. "Divers weights are an abomination to the Lord, and a false balance is not good." So we've got divers weights that go on that balance scale. You use some of that in school, or you see that even on TV, or where there's whatever's being weighed is here, and the assessor has got his little weights that he puts over here to find out how much is here. Well, you can have short weights and long weights. You can have heavy weights or light weights, but then you can have a balance that is messed up. And remember about Brother Dempsey Henderson. I've told you this before about how it was that the meat man that he worked for taught him how to put that thumb on the scale, and Lord saved him. Says, I'm not doing that anymore. He told him, I'm not biasing that weight of that meat by a few ounces each time. It's an abomination to the Lord. A false balance is not good. Verse 24, man's goings are of the Lord. And there's much, and of course, the application of the scripture is always necessity. Context, or necessary, context is always necessary. Man's goings, that word goings is talking about steps. Man's steps are of the Lord. I was talking to a brother about situations at hand, and you know, the Lord is not the author of sin. We saw that Sunday. We dealt with that. That's Satan's work. The thing is, and the way that I have come to understand it, and the way that I would explain it and to others be able to wrap my finite mind around the whole working of the Lord, we know that sin is not of the Lord in any way. But yet sin won't thwart God ever. And so he can take a thing. You think about Samson. Remember how it was with Samson and what the scripture says? Samson was wrong for looking for a wife of that of the Philistines, I think it was. But then I'll not refer to that, but you know that there's some places that tell about the disobedience of a person, but then it says that that so-and-so knew it not because the thing was of the Lord. Now that doesn't mean that the Lord caused that individual to sin, But the thing is the Lord even took the sin of that individual and used it to accomplish what the Lord wanted to accomplish. Did he author it in any way? No. Is he responsible for it? No. Is the Lord obliged to us in any way? Never. He's not obliged to us. Every good and perfect gift cometh down from above, or from the Father of lights, and whom cometh from above from the Father of lights, in whom there's no variableness or shadow of turning. Good things are from God. That's always the case. And the Lord doesn't owe us anything. But he's pleased to work and touch our lives, isn't he? To bless with good things. We're taking a look on Sunday afternoons about Pharaoh and how it is that Pharaoh's heart was hardened. Pharaoh saw some wondrous things that no other nation had seen. He didn't, some things that no other nation had seen. And that hardened his heart. He hardened his own heart. The Lord hardened his heart. But the Lord didn't do anything wicked or evil to Pharaoh, because the Lord doesn't sin. And it's hard for us maybe to wrap our mind around that, but we always need to remember, you know, there are those that think that because God is God, that he can do wickedness and sin, but it not be sin because he's doing it. But he does no sin.
Right.
He does no sin. We always got to remember that. It's mankind. It's Satan. We are that which is sinful. Man's goings, man's steps are of the Lord. He can take even a wicked king and use him for his honor and his glory. Thinking about how we got the King James Bible, I ran across some notes here from a couple years ago. You know, the Lord didn't use a Baptist to give us the Bible that we use, the translation that we use today. Joseph, you need to be quiet. He didn't give us the KJV from a Baptist, but he used a wicked king, didn't he? He did. He used a wicked king, a man that was held to doctrine from the universal church. That's where he came from. Okay, and so, but the Lord can take anybody and use anybody, can't he? Because those steps are of the Lord. A man's goings are of the Lord. His steps are of the Lord. How can a man then understand his own way? Do you know what the end of your life is going to be? Do you know how it's going to be next week? We don't, do we? We don't have any idea. We don't have any idea. But we can go to the Lord who does, can't we? We can go to him, and we can take... we can rest all that in him, rest all those things in him. He says, how can a man then understand his own way or his own road or his own course? We need to rest and trust in the Lord about it. Man's goings are of the Lord. His steps are of the Lord. How can a man then understand his own way or his own road or course? We can't. But the Lord does. And with faith and trust in him, we can rest in that. Verse 25, it is a snare to the man who devoureth that who devoureth that which is holy. It is a snare to the man who devoureth that which is holy, and after vows to make inquiry. What's that talking about? Well, it's a snare, or that word, we can understand that to be a noose, to the man who devoureth. That word devoureth is talking about blurting or uttering a thing quickly. To speak without thinking, to speak or to utter inconsiderately. It's a snare. It's a snare to a man to blurt something out or utter something inconsiderately, that which is holy. If I understand that right, it's don't blurt out real quick about something that you don't understand about. We're subject to that, aren't we? Maybe the thing at hand is holy. Maybe it is a thing that's sacred or consecrated. It's a snare to a man who devoureth that which is holy. Speak something that very well may be of the Lord down without consideration. I need to not speak quickly, don't I? I need to consider, need to take things. It can be a noose to us. And then it says, and after vows or after a promise to make inquiry or to inspect it. Oh, have I been snared with the words of my mouth? Have I been caught with the words of my mouth? I didn't give long consideration to what was at hand. I didn't seek the Lord's face about it. I blurted something out. I uttered inconsiderately, and now I've slammed something in the modern day vernacular. I've slammed something that I shouldn't have been talking down. And now I find an inquiry that I shouldn't have done that. I shouldn't have gone there. It's a snare to a man, to the man who devoureth that which is holy, and after vows to make inquiry. When we speak, we need to speak well and right. In Ecclesiastes 5, we've seen it before. Read it again, verses 1 through 7. Keep thy foot when thou goest to the house of God, and be more ready to hear than to give the sacrifice of fools. For they consider not that they do evil. Be not rash with thy mouth, and let not thine heart be hasty to utter anything before God. For God is in heaven, and thou upon earth. Therefore let thy words be few. Ecclesiastes 5:3, for a dream cometh through the multitude of busyness, and a fool's voice is known by the multitude of words. When thou vowest a vow unto God, or make a promise, defer not to pay it. For he hath no pleasure in fools that don't keep their word. He doesn't have no pleasure in it. Pay that which thou hast vowed. Now, better is it that thou shouldest not vow than thou shouldest vow and not pay. Suffer not thy mouth to cause thy flesh to sin. Neither say thou before the angel, it was an error. Wherefore should God be angry at thy voice and destroy the work of thine hands? For in the multitude of dreams and many words, there are also divers vanities, but fear thou God. Before I speak, I need to consider. Before I make a promise, before I commit to a thing, I need to make sure that I can carry it out. We've read it before. We need to count the cost, don't we? We do. And not say, oh no, what have I got myself into after the fact? Verse 26, a wise king scattereth the wicked and bringeth the weal over them. Oh, for a king that would do so in our day, amen? For a leader that would do so, this is about gone. When the government takes up a program and takes illegal weapons and gets that out into the drug system and to say they're going to trace them down and track them down to find out how it all works, and then people are killed with them. It's lunacy, isn't it? It's craziness. I mean, it's madness indeed. Oh, may God give us a wise leader. May the Lord give us a righteous one that would bring the weal over the wicked. The wicked are allowed in our day. The wicked are paid. We've come to a day that the wicked are on the public dole, if you will, in many, many ways. Individually, corporately, and just things that are it's upside down. May God help us. Proverbs 14:34, we've covered it. Righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people, and it will kill us. It is killing us as a nation. Oh, for statesmen that would stand. We need statesmen. We need to pray for the men that we have that have some semblance of being statesmen. We need to pray that the Lord would be merciful to us in our land and help us. We need this, but we don't have it, do we? A wise king scattereth the wicked and bringeth the weal over them. He brings them to an end. And now we've got a situation where the attorney of our land is looking to lessen crime or lessen the punishment for crimes. May the Lord help us. In Isaiah 5:18, familiar passage to you. Woe unto them that draw iniquity with cords of emptiness or vanity, and draw sin as it were with a cart rope, pulling iniquity towards them. let him make speed and hasten his work that we may see it. And let the counsel of the Holy One of Israel draw nigh and come that we may know it. They're making a threat against God. And we're having that happen now. As we get closer and closer to the day of the man of sin, the cloak of disobedience against God is coming off, isn't it? And that's because it's, if you will, disobedience against God is covered over with freedom, and I just want to do my own thing and just want to be at liberty to follow my heart and my way and just what humanity says it right. But one, as it says is right, but one day the cloak is coming off, and all that defiance that has always been against God is going to be revealed as such, and mankind is going to be shaking their fist in the face of God. That's what's at hand now. As an example, abortionists want so much to have their way, to follow and use that terrible wickedness of aborting babies in the womb for the sake of just convenience. That why is it in our nation that it's come that states don't even monitor those facilities? They don't even know if they're even there. But they'll be on some other kind of doctor's back in a heartbeat. Just as an example, woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Woe unto them that are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight. That's what's happened, is the people of our world have risen up and saying, we know what's right. We don't need what God says. We know what's prudent. We know what's appropriate. Can you consider a man that would justify that of abortion? I know this man that said, when challenged about abortion of babies, murdering them in the womb of their mothers before they're born, this man said, well, doesn't it work out that more go on to glory to be with the Lord? And said it in a, what he said is true, but he took that and used that in a justifying tone. You see what I'm saying? And that is, if that's not hardness of heart, I don't know what is. And it's defiance against God, and he works in the medical profession. Woe unto them that are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight. Isaiah 5:22. Woe unto them that are mighty to drink wine and men of strength to mingle strong drink. The drug situation. We fought and fought and fought supposedly against drugs, and there's no gain. Mexico is a mess. Because of the traffic into our country and into North America, which justify the wicked for reward and to take away the righteousness of the righteous from him, won't allow people to engage in their own government and stand for what's right, but targeted, shouted down, ignored, written off as just some quack or weirdo. Therefore, verse 24, as the fire devoureth the stubble, and the flame consumeth the chaff, so the Lord says, their root shall be as rottenness, and their blossom shall go up as dust, because they have cast away the law of the Lord of hosts, and despised the word of the Holy One of Israel. The end will come. One way or another, it'll come. Brother Steve, we were talking about here a little while ago. I think I mentioned it to you. We were talking about how it is we are descendants from Europe, and that's namely the descendants of Japheth, and it's such that different cultures, different lands have taken to the place of not having children, So the population of those different cultures and different nations and such and groups of people, when the child rate falls off to a certain point, that group will just implode and will cease to exist one day if time continues on. The way that we've taken to ourselves just as a nation or as a people or as a culture or different ones have done, that way is self-destructive. The way of the abortionist is self-destructive. If time continues on before the Lord comes back, it may be that we who are descendants from the founders and the folks that originally came to this country might not even exist in this country because of the way as a whole. Or the Lord will bring it to judgment, won't He, one day? One day He will bring it to judgment. And that's what the Lord says. He says, therefore, as the fire devoureth the stubble, the flame, and the flame consumeth the chaff, so their root shall be as rottenness, and their blossom shall go up as dust. There won't be any fruit. There won't be any fruiture, because they have cast away the law of the Lord of hosts, and despised the word of the Holy One of Israel. In Amos 8:11, behold, the days come, saith the Lord God, that I will send a famine in the land, not a famine of bread or thirst of water, but a famine of hearing the words of the Lord. A terrible thought to think that the Spirit of God wouldn't move amongst men so they would hear. Boy, that's terrible, isn't it? But because of wickedness abounding, it could very well be. In 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verses 13 and 14, if I shut up heaven that there be no rain, or if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people, if my people, which are called by not my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, his people's wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. While there's life and while we're here, Homestead Baptist Church, you and me, us together, if we'll seek the Lord's face, if we'll repent of our sins, repent of the sins of our land, repent of the sins of our state, of our county, our church, our families, ourselves, repent of our sins and be willing to stand guilty before the Lord, either for not speaking or being involved or whatever it is, while there's a Lord and there's life, there's hope, that we can be helped, that we can be healed. Amen. And may we remember that. And I believe that we may need to remember that more and more. Verse 27 there, Proverbs 20. The spirit of man is the candle of the Lord. Think about a candle. When the power used to go out at home, my mother always had candles close so you could light them, be able to see till the power came back on. The spirit of man is the candle of the Lord, searching all the inward parts of the belly. It's from this passage that the Lord helped me to understand that it's by the Spirit, which naturally in us is dead because of sin, right? It's by the Spirit that we have fellowship with God. Adam died that day when he sinned. His spirit died. But it's that light that the Lord lights in man, that we have fellowship with him, and that he has fellowship with us, searching all the inward parts of the belly. The Lord knows us in every whit, and his spirit within us illuminates us, enlightens us, and it's by that that we have fellowship with the Lord. Verse 28, mercy and truth preserve the king, and his throne is upholden by mercy. Mercy, piety, or this word mercy is talking about kindness. It's talking about pity. It's talking about being good in spite of those things wicked. You know, it takes someone that's really in tune to know how to balance punishment, justice, and mercy, doesn't it? But our Lord has done so, and He desires us to be merciful. We don't need to let sin pass, but we do need to be merciful. And may the Lord help us to find that balance that He exhibits perfectly. Verse 29, the glory of young men is their strength. At camp, sometimes you see it. They'll be back here in the back of the bunkhouse. They'll be showing their muscles. When that little marble pops up there, they're really proud of it. You see that. The glory of young men is their strength. How long they can stand on their head, or how they can pick up the other guy and spin him around and throw him into bed. Of course, that doesn't happen at our camp. But that's the way it is. The beauty of old men is the gray head. Got to live some years to get those gray hairs. And better for them to turn gray than to turn loose. Amen? But yeah, it is. The beauty of old men is the gray head. And to see a man that's lived many years and has that crown of that gray hair and is found in righteousness is a blessing in it. Tell you what, I've told you before, nothing makes me more sick than seeing a gray-haired man with a sliding off the front and a ponytail. It's terrible, isn't it? It's terrible. But that beauty of old men is the gray head. And the scripture talks about that gray head being found in righteousness and truthfulness and the way of the Lord. It's a blessing. It's a blessing. And the scripture, I didn't think about it to now, but the scripture does speak about, if I'm not mistaken, the scripture does speak about that it's appropriate to rise when the gray-haired man comes into the room. It's a place of honor. It should be. And our society has lost those kind of things. Verse 30. The blueness of a wound chaseth away evil. So do stripes the inward parts of the belly. Blood is essential to life, isn't it? Leviticus 17 tells us the life of the flesh is in the blood. Isn't that something, how this red stuff flowing around in us makes everything work? And even though our bodies and the way that they are, and of course, the cells that we are today are not the cells that we were a couple years ago or even months ago. I forget how long that cycle takes. But the blood, it makes all that work. Makes all that work together, a marvel of the Lord. Not by evolution, not by happenstance, not by chance, but by the direction of the Lord. And in that wound, the body has been designed of the Lord that when that wound takes place, that blood rushes there. It's right for the body to bruise. Because without blood, there'll be no cleansing, there'll be no healing, there'll be no help, there'll be no restoration of those cells. We're blessed to understand that. Blueness of the wound chaseth away evil. If there is trauma, if there is a wound, but no blood flows to it. We've heard of those that have had wounds that the blood just can't get to. Brother Junior. Brother Carlin over at New Testament. It was a marvel to me. They had that open heart surgery over here in Clarksville. And the sternum is always a difficult place for open heart surgery patients to heal. But what they learned to do over there is they put one of those wound vac patches on him and put that on a wound vac. And what'd that do? That place where there's very little circulation of blood there in the sternum, it drew that blood through there. And it was miraculous how fast he healed. Because the body needs that blood to heal. And the blueness of the wound cleanseth away evil. And you know what? So do stripes the inward parts of the belly. Chastisement is essential for holiness. We've seen the scripture in Proverbs 19, the previous chapter. Chasten thy son while there is hope. Let not thy soul spare for his crying. And the Lord does that for us. Do you have chastisement in your life? Does the Lord get on you? We need Him to. I need gotten on to. And in Hebrews chapter 12, we'll read this and we'll close. We need to remember this. In Hebrews chapter 12, verse number 5. And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. That's what we are, my son. Despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of Him. For whom the Lord loveth, He chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom He receiveth. Chastisement is essential for holiness. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers. Do you hear that? All are partakers of chastisement. All are partakers. Then are you bastards and not sons. You don't know your father. That's what that's talking about. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. And shall we not much rather be in subjection to the Father of spirits and live? Because chastisement is essential for holiness. For they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. See it there? That's it. He does it for our good. Amen. That still small voice of the Lord, that little stiffer whack, or maybe that even us getting ill or sick. I mean, only that person in the Lord knows. That's as far as the chastisement going on in your life, only you and the Lord really know. But it's going to be. Now, no chastening for the present, verse 11, seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Exercising yieldeth peaceable fruit of what? Of righteousness, of holiness. Wherefore, lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble knees. We see that? I'm getting trouble. I'm hanging down. Lift them up. And make straight paths for your feet, lest that which would be lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. Follow peace with all, and follow holiness, right? And holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Amen. The blueness of the wound cleanseth away evil, and so do stripes cleanse the inward part of the belly. We need chastisement. May the Lord help us to hear His words and retain His words in our heart. May we hear Him and believe Him and trust Him in it and take it and apply it to our hearts and lives. And may the Lord show us the truth of His word and the application of His word. And may we really, really hear Him and what He says and how all this life is about and how we should live until the Lord Jesus comes. And may we be a good witness of Him and what He's done for us. If you're here and you're not saved, you need Jesus Christ as your Savior. He is the only hope you have. Don't worry about making yourself presentable to God, because you can't. The Lord knows all about your sin, knows all about your wickedness, knows all about your heart. You need to come as you are. And when I say come, I'm not talking about coming up here. If the Lord saved you, we'd like to know about it, but you need to go to the Lord. Because your problem and issue is with the Lord. He's the one that has placed that condemnation for your sin upon you. He is the one that you need to deal with. Without His Son Jesus, you have no hope. But the Lord Jesus, remember, said that He came to save sinners. Are you a sinner? You need a Savior. And the Lord Jesus came preaching in the beginning of His ministry. Repent, believe the gospel. The death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ for the salvation of a sinner like you. Not that other guy. Not that one that you know that's worse than yourself. But you. You need Christ. We point you to Him.